Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
I can't believe this is where we are with Aaron Rodgers. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I can't believe we went from unceremoniously dumped from the New York Jets, Pearl, to now holding the cards for like three different franchises. Like, how? How did we end up back here where we thought maybe Rodgers was like it? Maybe this was over. Maybe this was the permanent darkness retreat. You know, maybe this was the permanent ayahuasca trip. And instead, he's the latest domino that has to fall. We wait until he decides, essentially, between Pittsburgh and the Giants, and that's kind of how it's been framed. And then we see about Russell Wilson, and then we see about maybe who Minnesota goes to bring in a veteran or what have you. Like, Aaron Rodgers now the linchpin of free agency. How did we get here?
By the way, you're sure he's not going to call it quits?
Oh, that's interesting. You think he's contemplating retirement right now?
I just think that you made it sound like he has all these wildly great opportunities. The Giants is obviously one of the worst spots in the NFL because they had three wins last year and they're bereft of talent. And their coach is probably in his final year and their GM's in his final. And the Steelers is Arthur Smith is the offensive coordinator. That's where offensive numbers go to die. So I just think that you made it sound like he had these great opportunities to be a big time player. I don't think these are great spots.
Well, I'm going to disagree there. Usually I'm the negative one and you're the more positive one. I'm going to go a little glass half full on some of these teams. I mean, the Steelers make the playoffs with worse rosters than they have now. They did make a trade for DeAndre Hopkins. Like, if you're not going to use Hopkins and Pickens, then, you know, what are you doing? And the Giants have actually made some nice upgrades in free agency. They do have Malik Neighbors. I have no idea what the offensive line is going to be like. You do have a desperate team chip on their shoulder. Like, I'm going to squint and say both of these teams, I don't think the Giants are going to be as bad as people think. And the Steelers are the model of consistency. These are not bad options here. Rodgers, who just the Jets just said, don't let the door hit you where God split you. I mean, it's not like he had this big market and now he does. He's got a market.
If you think the Giants is a good market, then I got to, and you could squint and see that as a good opportunity, then you must think all 32 teams. I mean, honestly, there's no way that's a good opportunity. That's got to be one of the bottom five opportunities in the league.
Well, okay, they're coming off a 3-win season. They do have the third overall pick.
He's got 1 year to do this. That's my point. He only has a time. Yeah, the Giants could build something nice. They have some good young players. It's hard to imagine that they're going to be good this year. Does he really want to end his career at a 6-11 record with the Giants?
I mean, I must say beggars can't be choosers, but like,
right, that's clearly my point. He's a beggar.
But clearly it's not a slam dunk situation with Pittsburgh, or else don't you think this deal would be done already?
Right, because I think if an indoor team had called him and said, hey, you can be our indoor team with some receiver talent had called him and said, you can be our starter, he'd be in already. I think they're trying. First of all, Pittsburgh, we know, is going to lowball them. So these teams with non-ideal situations are offering him very little money. So I think he's hesitant.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers is going to retire? 855-212-4227. Here's the reason why I do not. A little like Kelce coming off a bad performance in the Super Bowl, like, I'm not going out like that, which is exactly what I said and what he ended up saying. Like, it left such a bad taste in his mouth to be kind of a non-factor in that Super Bowl. I think Rodgers has such an ego and has the career to back that up. To fizzle out after a bad Jets year, I think to me, like, I think he's got a lot to prove. And, you know, we've talked to how many foot doctors who say the second year coming off of the Achilles is actually much better.
We talked to one foot doctor, but yes.
You know. That's exactly what I said behind the glass, too. We talked to one.
Well, he brought a live foot, so I'm kind of counting that as like two. You guys act like I don't talk to any other orthopedist besides Dr. Rock. Mm. I got a cell phone full. But anyway.
I get your
I'm
point.
Just saying.
David
Chow has said the same thing. Just guys on Twitter. But anyway.
I agree that he will likely come back. I'm not
arguing.
He's going to
come back, and I don't think he's going to be bad. I think the reason why he's not going to retire is because, as simple as ego, pride. I'm not going out like that.
Well, yeah, I agree with you that he doesn't want to go out like he did with the Jets. But if that's your mentality, you are not walking into New Jersey, another team in New Jersey. The Giants have been really bad for a long time. I think that's a very scary situation. Obviously, he would have wanted to go with Kyle Shanahan or Kevin O'Connell or some spot where quarterbacks put up 35 touchdowns every year. I don't think he is too excited about going to the Giants.
Well, listen, are the Vikings still lurking? I don't know. You know, to to help J.J. McCarthy, the only thing is that the Steelers and the Giants, you're starting.
Yeah, I think 100% starting. I think that makes much more sense.
Yeah, Vikings, you're not sure. Like, you could end up going there and they say, listen, you know, McCarthy looks good. His knee's fine. Like, we got to go with the young guy.
Yeah.
So for Rodgers, it's like, yeah, you go indoors and you go with a better coach and a better team. But are you going to be holding the clipboard for J.J. McCarthy? That's probably too much to handle.
I also think of, remember when Tom Brady hit the market, only a couple teams wanted him. Teams are very hesitant about 40-plus-year-old quarterbacks. It was a mistake for sure. But I think a lot of teams, I'll bet you the Steelers are really low-balling Aaron Rodgers. And I say that because they lost Justin Fields, who they reportedly wanted, for $20 million guaranteed. That's nothing.
Yeah, it's a drop in the bucket for the quarterback position. Yeah. And here's the other thing I think where when you kind of walk this back, just how badly the Steelers kind of messed this situation up, which is when you got Justin Fields last year for basically pennies on the dollar, you could have signed him to a 2-year deal. You could have had him under contract this year, probably for something pretty cheap, Pearl, backup quarterback money, and you would at least have had a quarterback on your roster right now. And, you know, you don't promise him anything, but I bet he would have signed a 2-year deal with you last year because his stock couldn't have been lower. I mean, he's traded away from Chicago. He wanted to go to Pittsburgh. It was his preferred destination. They made it happen. And the, you know, Steelers farted around with that and they didn't look ahead. And now they are waiting, I guess, on pins and needles for Rodgers because you bring back Russell Wilson. You guys said this. I don't know if I necessarily agree, but you bring back Russell Wilson, it kind of feels like a letdown.
Yeah, but also
for the fan base.
I, you know, just take a step back to Justin Fields. I think a lot of people are wondering what the Steelers and the Jets see in Justin Fields because his numbers weren't great in his start. So I honestly didn't totally get the Justin Fields thing. Why? I was surprised when all the reports came out that the Steelers were really honing in on Justin Fields this offseason. Because they benched him last year. So what changed? I didn't understand that at all.
Well, the owner came out, remember, after the season and said, I would prefer to keep one of the two of Justin Fields and Russell Wilson.
But why?
And I think, well, I don't know. That's what he said. Yeah. And I think people assume, well, you go with the young guy.
Yeah. And a lot of Pittsburgh reporters said that they were leaning Fields. And it does seem like they were competing with the Jets for Fields. Yeah, I don't see that. Again, I think you said something to me either in the break about how Pittsburgh seems to have no plan at quarterback.
Yeah, can you imagine? Like, that's organization malpractice. How do you not have plans here at QB where you're waiting on Aaron Rodgers, and if not him, I guess it's Fields? Like, come on. You're trying to sell your fan base that you're not mired in mediocrity, and you just made this big trade for DK Metcalf.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins signed with the Ravens yesterday.
Yeah.
But for DK Metcalf, you did the investment. You brought in the weapon, and it's going to be like Chris Boswell who's throwing to him. I have no idea who.
No, it's definitely unusual times in Pittsburgh. But you know what? Whatever they've been trying before hadn't been working for 8 years, trying something different. I mean, that's why I think that they really want Rodgers because they've been pinned into this corner, right? What choice do they have now?
Okay, but here's the thing. Now, like, Rodgers, the kookiest dude in the league, is he holding you hostage? Mm. I don't know if it's like that dire, but it kind of feels like it. So now you got to wait for him to get service at the Malibu house so you can get an answer. Like, Rodgers is a kooky dude.
Well, that being said, we just know how kooky Rodgers is because he shares it every week. I think there's plenty of kooky dudes.
That's true.
In the NFL.
Unique brand of kook.
But still, I mean, he can sling it. Obviously, his upside seems high if he can get one more healthy year. Yeah, I mean, here's the issue. Why hasn't it happened yet? Everything else has happened. This is kind of weird.
Money, probably.
Yeah.
Who's going to blink first? I mean, I imagine. Or Rodgers is in Costa Rica talking about caterpillars turning into butterflies. It could be anything with this dude.
Or it's the Giants.
What they're
offering more money.
well, then take the money or don't. Like,
yeah,
he's kind of the one guy who really, not for be it for me to count someone else's money, but isn't he kind of the one guy who's signed so many big contracts, he's earned the right to not have to make it about the money?
Yeah, he's the highest paid player in NFL history.
Boom.
So I think the Giants, by the way, might want to pay up to change the narrative off of last year when they wouldn't pay for Saquon. Bring in Aaron Rodgers and all his stuff. That could make people forget that you gave away Saquon 2 years ago.
That's always a good strategy. Let's yeah, overspend.
Bring in a new mess.
So that people will forget that we didn't spend the last time.
I think that they would do 1 year, $24 million, because then everyone would be talking about Rodgers and no one would be talking about the fact that they let Saquon Barkley walk out.
Yeah, that they're never going to live that down. 855-212-4227. If I'm a Steeler fan, I am just pulling my hair out. I'm like, guys, here's the other part, too. I said you could have signed Justin Fields to a two-year deal on a very cheap two-year deal. He could be your backup quarterback right now. You could have him under contract, right?
Yeah.
You also could have done this, like, when the season ended. You know what I'm saying? Like, they waited so long that the Jets got into this and created a bidding war. He's your own guy.
Yeah, but if you have Justin Fields, a quarterback, I think your win projection is 9 games at most.
It's a warm body. They got nobody right now.
Well, yeah, but they'll get somebody. They'll get a warm body. I mean, I think they can find somebody. I mean,
what are you saying? They can find somebody. Yeah, great. Wentz, I mean, Mariota?
Honestly, Russell Wilson was better than Fields last year, so stick him in there. He was actually really good when the Ravens went into prevent in the playoff game. Russell was slinging it, and I was saying to myself, wow, they should have done this from the get-go. I think the main problem, too, is their offensive coordinator is way too conservative, and Tomlin is way too conservative, and they trade for this Ferrari of a wide receiver in DK Metcalf. Now, even if they have Russ or Aaron Rodgers, they have to throw on first down once in a while.
That's so funny that it's like, this is how low the bar is, that you're giving a future Hall of Fame quarterback credit for being able to complete passes when the other team's in prevent.
Well, I mean, look at his numbers.
What are we doing?
He just looked kind of sharp. A lot of games, there were moments last year.
They were pressuring him.
But there were moments all last year where Russ made some really good throws. I was like, wow, if this team was just had a better offensive coordinator, Russ still has got a little bit of zip in that arm.
They could bring Russ back. They're not doing it.
I know.
Like, this is a mess totally of their own.
Well, they might bring Russ back.
Yeah, if Rodgers says no.
Yeah.
I just can't believe a team that we consider so smart and savvy and consistent and crown jewel franchise of the NFL, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I just can't believe they have found themselves in this horrible situation. Now, they might end up saving it and do another 9-8 season and go to the playoffs as a wild card, but it's just unfathomable.
I don't know. This is a team that had Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and their star quarterback got involved in a huge controversy back then. There's been some chaos around them.
They were winning
them.
Super Bowls back then. They were closer, at least.
Yeah, well, they never won with AB and Le'Veon Bell, but
just put up and shut up.
They've had some weird stuff happen in Pittsburgh. They are not averse to controversy.
But you'll agree with me that they're considered... Like, yeah, the Steelers have an aura.
Right, they've had the same coach, 3 coaches in the last 60 years. You're right, but, yeah, I mean, I don't know if they've earned that aura in the last 10 years. There's a bit of chaos there.
Coming up next, we're going to talk to somebody who played for the Pittsburgh Steelers for 7 years and get his thoughts on what's going on with the front office and how they don't have a quarterback on March 12th. 855-212-4227. You're welcome to join the conversation as well. We have a poll question out there for you. Do you consider the San Francisco 49ers a Super Bowl contender this season? 11 of the 22 starters from the 2019 Super Bowl team are now gone. Okay, Bryant McFadden, the 2-time Super Bowl champion, is going to join us next. Coming up later in the show, we are going to dive into the LeBron James controversy with Stephen A. Smith and how far do you go to defend your own offspring? 855-212-4227.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Is Aaron Rodgers holding the rest of the NFL free agency period hostage? Seems that way. He's off, for all we know, in parts unknown. You said Costa Rica.
Yeah. You just got back from there.
I didn't see him.
No?
You got to watch the McAfee show to know where Aaron Rodgers is.
Yeah.
Because A.J. Hawk is Aaron Rodgers' best friend.
His GPS.
And McAfee said something about parts unknown the other day, like a wrestler. I don't know where Aaron is or what he's doing, but we could sure use a decision here, Maggie.
Yeah, we can. He's the next domino to fall, and we would think it's a no-brainer to sign with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but let's get to somebody who knows the Steelers organization inside and out, won two Super Bowls with the franchise. It's Bryant McFadden, CBS Sports football analyst. And Bryant, thanks so much for getting up early for us. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you for the invitation. It's always a pleasure to speak to you both, so thank you.
Oh, no. When we think Pittsburgh Steelers, we think of you first and foremost. So, okay, first question here. What do you think is holding up Aaron Rodgers and a potential marriage, if you will, with the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think it's more about finances than anything. To your point, you know, you look at the offensive structure, adding a guy like DK Metcalf along with, you know, George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth, everything they already have in terms of the skill position of players, that should be very, very enticing. But I think now for Aaron Rodgers, you know, this is the end of his career, it's safe to say. So I think the finances are the things he's trying to get solidified in making his decision either with the Pittsburgh Steelers or another organization.
Bryant, if Aaron called you tomorrow or called you today and said, I'm thinking about the Steelers and I'm thinking about the Giants, what would you tell him?
Well, I would say this. If you look at the last 5 years between both organizations, even when both organizations have been, you know, below average to say the least, Pittsburgh has still been a winner, right? And if you look at the roster, you know, Pittsburgh has a better roster. So, worst case scenario, when you talk about playing for Pittsburgh, you're going to win 9 ball games. Worst case scenario. The New York Giants, worst case scenario, you might win 2 or 3. And do you really want to go out on that type of note? Not being a part of a playoff caliber team, not being being a part of a team that's relevant. Because if you go to New York, it's safe to say you won't be relevant as a team because you won't be good. And if you're not good, you have no playoff aspirations at all.
Bryant McFadden is joining us. He's a former Pittsburgh Steeler, won 2 Super Bowls with them, now working for CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ as a football analyst. All right, we love your perspective because you can take us behind the curtain here on the Steelers. Do they woo free agents? Like, what does this look like? Do you think that they're really trying to put the hard sell on Rodgers, or is this the type of organization where they'll say, here's the offer, take it or leave it?
Well, it wouldn't be a take it or leave it type thing, but of course they want to make you feel like you want it, you're wanted, and you're needed, most importantly. So I think for Aaron Rodgers, and the thing about Aaron Rodgers in this situation, there's always been a mutual love, football love, between Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin. The respect from either side, they've always really complimented each other in terms of what they've done. So Aaron knows about, you know, the ideal of playing under Mike Tomlin and how great it could be. So for Pittsburgh, no question, they're going to try to make you feel like you're wanted and needed, most importantly. But, you know, it's not like they're going to get on their knees and hit you with a Keith Sweat, start begging. But, you know, they want to make you feel like you're wanted and you can really be a part of trying to, you know, hoist the sticky Lombardi.
Bryant, I think I saw your reaction to DK Metcalf live on HQ. All I know is I saw a clip of how excited you were or seemed when the Steelers traded for him. So, but Maggie and I have been wondering, is it a little out of order to trade for the wide receiver first when you don't have the quarterback? But it's still exciting.
I wouldn't say it's out of order because if you waited, someone else probably would have traded for him.
Okay.
Right? When it became a known thing that DK was, you know, seeking a trade, now you got to start working the phones because you can't wait, because if Pittsburgh didn't make the move they made a few days ago, another team probably could have made a move. You know what I mean? Another wide receiver needy team. So it makes sense because you couldn't afford to wait, because think about it like this. The Steelers have been trying to add a significant playmaker at that position for over a year, going back to last year, getting ready for the draft, you know, getting ready for the offseason and, of course, the end season, and nothing happened. And it really hurt the development and the production of the offense. Now you got another guy who's only 27 years old, a legit wide receiver one, who is available. Yeah, we'll figure out the quarterback situation when we figure it out. But right now, let's make this move because it's the most important move right now.
Brian McFadden is joining us, the two-time Super Bowl champion, most notably Pittsburgh Steelers, basically played his entire career there, is now an analyst on CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ. You know, Brian, I know you have undying respect for the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. I think we all do, yeah. Right? They're one of the crown jewel franchises in the NFL. But man, they have messed this up. Like, can we just call it what it is, right? They might save it with Rodgers and he might end up being good, or they might bring back Russ, but are you a little shocked that it even got to this point where we're sitting here on March 12th and the Steelers have no quarterback on the roster?
I am, because I really thought we would probably retain Justin Fields. That's what I was thinking initially, knowing this quarterback conundrum we was getting ready to embark on. But that didn't happen. So to your point, yeah, I am a bit surprised to see we're still waiting, because it's slim pickings out there in terms of the quarterbacks that's available. You know, you talk about Aaron Rodgers, you talk about Russell Wilson. After that, it's very, very slim. And, you know, if you don't have a quarterback, good luck in winning ball games. Good luck in winning ball games. It's going to be hard. You know, if you don't have a quarterback, the field, it feels like it's 150 yards because it's a struggle. You got to go an extra 50 to score, and that's what it feels like. So, yeah, I am a bit surprised now to see, when you talk about where is Wednesday, and the Steelers still haven't addressed the quarterback situation. So hopefully some good news comes sooner than later.
You know, I hate to just do the blame game thing, and I'm not trying to do that sports talk radio, oh, let's throw somebody under the bus. But to be honest, the reason why we ask you this is because I don't know the answer. Who is to blame for how they got themselves in this predicament? Is it Omar Khan, the GM? Is it Mike Tomlin being too picky about a quarterback? Is it the owner who has gotten involved at times, saying what his preferences are? Like, who should wear this, if anyone?
You know, that's a great question. And I think all of us on this call, we have no idea, because we haven't been involved in those internal discussions, you know, amongst the powers that be to that position. So that's a hard question to, you know, answer. But hopefully they come together and find a way to get the best guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it seemed like, me personally, it seemed like Justin Fields wasn't a top priority for them, because if he was, I don't think he would have became a New York Jets. You know, if he was the top priority, you don't allow him to get to free agency to allow the Wolves to get into the backyard. You know what I mean? You go ahead and put a fence around that yard right now before free agency starts and lock him up. So clearly it seemed like he wasn't a top priority. They wanted him back, but not at that value. So I feel like if that's the case, they had to have another plan in place to execute. And hopefully they are able to execute their plan so they can go into this offseason and attack the draft the right way and get ready for this upcoming end season.
Right. Well, now you bring up the draft. What if, and let me paint this scenario, your buddy Shador, I assume your buddy Deion Sanders' son, Shador Sanders, falls to 21. It seems unlikely, but there are mock drafts out there where he's falling, or maybe a Jackson Dart. Do you think there's any chance the Steelers take a quarterback with their first pick at 21?
Yeah, I can see that. Now, I can tell you this much. All this hoopla about Shador falling, that's hogwash. like, what have you been watching to make you feel this player is not top five worthy, in my opinion, top three worthy? I feel like he was the best quarterback in college football because of the atmosphere that he was in. Not a great offensive line. They couldn't run the football well. He was getting hit relentlessly, running for his life, and he still gave you numbers and never complained. You know what I mean? He's a tough-minded kid, and he's tough physically as well. So he's used to being uncomfortable. He's comfortable being uncomfortable. So to answer your question with that hypothetical, if he happens to fall that far, which I highly doubt should happen, he shouldn't be nowhere outside the top five, in my opinion. Yeah, you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, no question. Because if Pittsburgh signs either Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, Aaron is older. Aaron was a part of my draft class in 2005. He's the last of the Mohicans. So we know he probably has at least one more good year left. And who knows how many years Russell wants to keep playing. So you need to go ahead and prepare for life after either quarterback. So that would be the ideal scenario if that was to happen. And when you talk about Jackson Dart, it's the opposite for Jackson Dart. Jackson Dart has gained a lot of momentum just throughout this pre-draft process. You know what I mean? Mm. It seemed like they're taking momentum, or trying to take momentum away from Shador. Jackson is gaining. And, you know, Jackson did some pretty good things at Ole Miss, and now he's getting that, you know, number three option in terms of the label when you look at Cam and Shador, now it's Jackson. Mm. If he's available, yeah, you look at a situation where you don't expect for him to play right now in year one because of who you've added to your quarterback at the, from the vet side of things, I think that could be an option as well. So either quarterback, because right now it seems like the Pittsburgh Steelers, they've been putting a cast on an injury that you need to have surgery for. Like, at some point in time, you got to have this surgery to be able to be at your best. And you keep getting these quarterbacks that only might be a year or 2 years in, and who knows what happens. You got to go find a quarterback of the future.
Yeah, like really fix the problem, you're saying. Not just put a Band-Aid over it, put a cast on, as you're saying, but really fix the problem. That's what Prolof's been saying. They need a rebuild. The problem is they're just too good. Yeah. You know, they're too good for a full teardown. Brian McFadden with us for just another minute. And I think, Prolof, why you said your good friend Deion Sanders, we just assume defensive backs from Florida State that you guys have some kind of like group chat or something like that. You know, you must be on a text thread like you, Deion, you know, both Seminoles. So my last question for you, Brian, is about Deion, who has said before that he would get involved in the draft process, not just for Shador, but also for Travis Hunter. If he doesn't like where they may be headed, he would insert himself. He said to the Dan Patrick Show, so he's obviously out there about it. Do you think that includes the Cleveland Browns? Like, if Cleveland's there at two and they want to take Shador, would Deion get involved and say, this is where quarterbacks go to die, I don't want my son playing in Cleveland?
I don't think so, because, you know, being a top two pick, that's a great achievement, right? And, yeah, Cleveland hasn't been a great destination for quarterbacks, right? Veteran guys or even young guys. But I don't think he would step involved. I think he understands this is an opportunity for Shador to do something no other quarterback has been able to do. Be able to set a nice foundation and revitalize the organization for the better. So, and that's just my personal opinion. I could be wrong, but I think, you know, if he goes to understanding they got to exercise patience, and Shador has shown the ability to really revamp bad situations, Jackson State, Colorado, and, you know, he's talked about it throughout the combine. You know, that's what he's done. So why would it change? Because that's his mindset, and that's how much he believes in his ability. So I really think he wouldn't really step in.
Brian, some negative news. My shoe game is just not going where we thought it might go. We're talking New Balance, dad shoes. I need you to come up to New York and come in live to the Maggie and Perloff Show and help me out.
Anytime. What happened is I come to New York. You know, we do a live show together, and after that, let's go sneaker shopping, because you really felt good when you bought those Dunks.
Yeah.
Like Maggie, his entire morale changed. It's almost like when he stepped foot in those Dunks, we saw a different Perloff. And now he's kind of been complacent.
Yeah.
What we got to do is let's do a live show, and after that, get some breakfast and go sneaker shop.
Yeah. Bring Sully up. Get the whole gang together, because it's sad. I'm looking at High Arches and Comfort, like Steph Curry shoes. Yes. It's
orthopedic.
Bad.
Some orthopedic shoe. No, Brian, you're right. When you guys went shoe shopping, I was not there. This was in Las Vegas, two Super Bowls ago. And then Perloff was walking out like the beginning of Saturday Night Fever when it's John Travolta walking
Different
down
person.
The street in New York City. And now you've just lost it. I haven't even seen those Dunks in months. You haven't worn them.
Oh, and listen, I'm not going to put his business out, but Maggie, they were pretty expensive.
He told me.
Yeah. Brian,
uncomfortable.
How many shoes do you own? Do you think?
Oh my goodness, man! I'm always giving shoes away because I keep piling them up, piling them up, piling them up. That's a great question. How many? Probably close to two.
Wow, 200 pairs.
Might even be more than that, because I did a spring cleaning last spring. I might be anywhere between two to three.
Are they all different, or you have repeats? You must have repeats.
I have a few repeats, and the thing that I realized, because I've always been a guy who really took good care of my shoes and everything like that, I have some shoes that I bought back in 2002, like some Jordans that are great condition, might have worn them once. I got a few repeats, but yeah.
This is an indelicate question. I realize I'm asking it. You do not have to answer this, but can I ask what's the most money you've dropped on a pair of shoes?
At one time?
Just for one pair.
One pair, See, Maggie, I've always been a bargain shopper. So when someone gives me a price, a number, I'm always trying to lower my
I love it.
You know, lower the case.
Haggling.
So probably in terms of like sneakers, probably just maybe a grand.
Okay.
A grand, yeah, yeah. Because what I do is when I was playing, I made really good relationships with a lot of different, of course, Nike reps and shoe vendors. So even now, anytime there's something that comes out, I try to get a good deal on it, and they usually look out for me. Like right now, Maggie Perloff, the Jordans are coming out this Friday, the Bricks. They're all red, the Jordan 4s. Those are my next thing that I want to get. I haven't really bought shoes in a while because I've been trying to exercise discipline to what I have. But the Bricks are the next joint that I might try to get. I'm probably going to get this Friday.
Oh, wow. Well, good luck.
Yeah.
And we can't wait to see them, when next time you're on TV, can you find a way to get the shoe on the air somehow so we can take a look.
Maybe you'll have a quarterback by then, too. A quarterback and the shoes.
What happens first?
We better have a quarterback by Friday.
Yeah. What happens first, the Jordan Bricks or Aaron Rodgers? Okay, Brian McFadden, the two-time Super Bowl champion. You can watch him, CBS Sports, CBS Sports HQ. Thank you for the time. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate that. I'm looking these up. I think I have them right, these all reds. Pretty cool.
Wow.
I love that a grand for a shoe, that's the bargain shopping.
That's a haggle. I actually expected a much bigger number.
I did too.
And I expect, and he's 200. He said he's given away a lot.
Yeah.
I've seen pictures of his closet. It's pretty crazy. And listen, a lot of athletes are like that. They also have the Nike and Adidas deals. That kind of helps.
Yeah, the connection helps for sure. Yeah. Perloff was, you played it off very coolly when you went shoe shopping in Las Vegas with Brian McFadden and our pal Sully. I don't know if anyone else was there. And you definitely dropped an uncomfortable amount of money.
For me, yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing like $1,000. I saw Brian at the Super Bowl a couple weeks ago, and I was wearing my lamest shoes possible. He just looked at me with such pity.
You have the cool shoes. Why don't you wear? I mean, wintertime, maybe you don't want. Maybe in the spring now.
I honestly, I don't. EJ, you have a lot of high-end Jordans and Dunks.
I'm wearing some Concords today.
Yeah, but also I know, and EJ's probably the biggest shoe head here, right? I see him wearing these $75 Asics running shoes too, but you just can't wear nice shoes every day because they get dirty, and then you're out $400.
I did a shoot on the weekend, and someone asked me about my sneakers as well. You got to get a good sneaker cleaner.
Yeah,
that's the key. You got to get a good sneaker cleaner. You got to be disciplined. Wear them out. Come back home, clean them right after when you're done. Or next time you go out, make sure you clean them again before you go out.
It's a lot of work.
But the extra 10 minutes goes a long way.
Goes a long way. That's true. I always thought those things were kind of BS, like the leather protectors, that they'll sell you.
Yeah, for boots and things.
But maybe it's not.
No, you get a good sneaker cleaner, it will take you a while. These Concords I bought, I think during the pandemic. It was 2020, 2021. So, damn. And they're still pretty white, still pretty clean, so.
I'll tell you what, this is the thing about getting older, a sneaky thing that you don't realize because your feet don't stop, they stop growing, right? Just so many shoes. My closet is just, I got five pairs of the same shoe. Well, I kid you not.
That's an issue. I live in a two-bedroom apartment.
Yeah,
my wife wants to kill me because of the shoes.
It's just that they just pile up.
My wife wants these shoes and I have not pulled the trigger. I think they're called Goose. Do you guys know Goose?
Yeah.
Oh, my
Goose.
God. I can't believe
Goose.
It's just a normal white shoe, and it's with a little star on it for $900.
I mean, that's crazy. I didn't know Sarah was such a label person.
No. She didn't know it was $900. She's like, I saw my friend wearing these shoes. She thought they were $150.
Yeah, no.
They look like Converse. Yeah.
He's like just, housewives walking around New York City with $1,200 shoes on. Haven't ran. Well, your wife's actually a runner,
The cheapest option I see on this website is $595.
For a Goose?
Yeah.
Are they used?
No, they're not used. These are brand new.
All right, and then don't even get me started on the price of Hokas. Now I'm talking your language, Andrew Bogus. Old person shoes that people wear for running, they're $250 a pop.
Yeah, are those actually
good? You guys
good?
Wear them for comfort, not for running.
Well, if you're a lot of runners wear them. I have to wear them for running because, they're incredibly good.
Because they look funky.
Yeah.
Andrea wears them too. She wears them for running. She loves them.
Yeah, a lot of people, they just build better. They have a lot of support for your foot.
Yeah, I know. They look like a design by an orthopedist.
Yeah, but then some. If they're so ugly, sometimes you cross over to slightly hip. They're so hideous. Like, yeah, some of the hipsters in Brooklyn wear them. Like the most bizarre color. They make the weirdest colors you've ever seen for a shoe. Yeah, that's a thing now. I don't get the shoe game at all. I need help.
See, I have a different issue, and you guys know my well-documented issue with me buying shoes is my feet are gigantic.
Oh, right. Yes. Do you have a special order from Canada or something?
From now China.
Men's Warehouse XL.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Yeah, me and Shaq have to order from the same place. But my issue is because my feet are so abnormally large for a woman my size, I have to stay away from certain colors that make it look even bigger. So, like, I bought a pair of white running shoes recently, and I honestly think that NASA could see me from outer space. Like, oh, there's Maggie jogging again. They're so big.
What kind of running shoes do you?
I have New Balance right now, and I bought them on sale, and they're just so white. Mm. And it's just all you see. I'm just all foot.
Do you have to buy a lot of men's sizes? Like,
it helps.
Or, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to judge you here. I don't see a lot of serious runners wearing New Balance, but okay, go ahead.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
All right.
I'm just saying. Yeah, if you're not going to go Hoka or Brooks or maybe high-end Asics, are you really a runner?
I'm really not.
Isn't no Lyle's New Balance? No.
Let's not get started with that.
That's
not going to be my quote.
What a hypocrite, Maggie.
More ways than one.
Well, we got to watch the Boston Marathon next month to see what all the runners are wearing.
See what everyone's
wearing.
And
that being said, Noah Lyles and Maggie, not same as runners.
Nope. No. Bogues, hang around, will you? Please, we left no time. Thank you to Brian McFadden. One of the biggest things he said, surprised that the Steelers have found themselves in this situation with no quarterback. And two, Deion will not step in. He does not think. If Shador was going to go to Cleveland or maybe anywhere else.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like.
Bogues is wearing kind of hipster shoes. Those are really cool. He's got Asics.
These are Onitsuka Tiger Asics.
Yeah. Bogues is pretty.
These are my favorite.
He's got a sneaky shoe game. You ever notice that?
No.
Thank you.
We'll get to Bogues in just a moment and see you guys on the phones about Aaron Rodgers. And does he elevate the Steelers into a title contender if he signs? Your guess is as good as ours. 855-212-4227. Like this. A little tailor-made music for Andrew Bogues, who's here with headlines on this very, very busy Wednesday. What's up, folks?
I got breaking news from the NFL. The 49ers are, in fact, allowed to add players right now. They are signing former Giants safety Jason Pinnock and former Rams receiver DeMarcus Robinson. He gets a 2-year deal, $6 million guaranteed after catching 7 touchdowns last season for L.A. Leonard Floyd, the Niners' last cut. He's expected to sign a 1-year deal in Atlanta. And the Bills win the Joey Bosa sweepstakes, guaranteeing him $12 million for the coming season. Bosa choosing Buffalo over Miami and those Niners, where, of course, his brother Nick plays.
Anyone else think that's a little odd?
What's that? That he didn't choose the Niners?
Kind of. Because, like, think about it. You know, he's at the end of his career. And this could be a really special thing where these guys are on the defensive line together, sort of bookends or whatever they'd be. Like, that's a once-in-a-lifetime situation. Yeah. And instead, he's going as far away as humanly possible with Buffalo for a couple extra mil?
Yeah, it is, now that you put it that way, that is odd. So what do you think's behind that? What do you read that they're...
Josh Allen, easier division?
No, I was wondering, is there some brotherly friction?
Maybe
some competition?
Right, like maybe sometimes siblings kind of know each other, like maybe it's not great if we play. Although, weren't they college teammates? Maybe not, actually. They may not have been. Anyway, I...
Yeah, and also, they're close, aren't they? I mean...
I think so.
I don't know. The Bosas... I get the Bosas and the Watts and the Gronkowskis all mixed up. They're basically the same
thing. But they're
thing.
All best friends. Like, they're all tight families.
I thought so.
Yeah.
But I have no idea.
Dude.
You might be thinking of the Watts.
Well, think about it. The Watts and the Gronks, like, I think they pull strings to get their brothers, like, who's the other Watt?
Derek.
Like,
on the Steelers.
Right, because of TJ.
Right.
And I think there was a couple Gronks out there who got a little time in the NFL because of Rob.
A fullback, right?
Yeah.
Another Gronk. Yeah.
Anyway.
No, it does seem...
I love puppies.
But I get it. You're saying that Buffalo, we could win a Super Bowl ring. And maybe,
I'm thinking,
he could win one in San Francisco, theoretically.
Well, as you guys are talking about where the Niners are going, I think that Joey is is an example of they're not going in the right direction.
But easier division, maybe AFC East, but not easier conference.
Yeah, I was about to say.
But Josh Allen over Brock Purdy, no matter what you think about Brock, has a significant advantage.
I guess, but you also have Mahomes, Lamar. I mean, you got some significant quarterbacks that you...
But at least if in Buffalo, in theory, you're in the mix. In the Niners, you might not be in the mix to beat anybody, to win games, to get far.
Well, I mean, you look at... I pull up the Super Bowl odds right now with FanDuel, and they're pretty close. I mean, San Francisco's, it goes Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Buffalo's 4, Lions, San Francisco 6. So at least betting
how
odds.
How could the Niners even be on the board? We don't know half their team.
I don't know. Kyle said, I mean, Vegas is always behind. Like, the public still likes the Niners. But half their team, they let a bunch of overpaid old guys go.
Guys who they relied on last year.
Like who?
Who's replacing those guys?
Like Elijah Mitchell? Who cares? Kyle Juszczyk? Who cares? Hufanga has not been out on the field enough.
Either way, they're in the middle of a facelift. I don't know how you have any opinion on what they're going to be next year on March 12th, whatever today's date is.
They have Hall of Famers. They have McCaffrey. They have Bosa. They have Fred Warner. They have really good quarterback in Lenore. They have some big-time pro bowlers.
But I think the Bills are a better team, and Josh Allen's a better quarterback.
Well, that's for sure.
Yeah, but they're snake bin.
Yeah.
And I don't think...
Yeah, the 49ers aren't.
Why? I mean...
Two leads in the fourth quarters of Super Bowls, believe me, know the feeling.
Go Bills.
49ers have definitely had more success. You know, they've gotten into the Super Bowl. You're right, the Chiefs are the main problem here.
I mean, if the Niners were in the AFC, they would have this. They would be the Bills. They keep losing to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
They would be. Yeah, they really would be.
Basically, it's picking between the same team. But one is farther away and colder.
Delaware men's basketball, the 12 seed, won 4 games in 4 days to reach last night's CAA title game against number 2 UNC Wilmington. The Fightin' Blue Hens would have been the lowest seed ever to win a conference tourney title, but they lost 76-72. Head coach Martin Inglesby.
Really, really proud of our group and how they represented our university to come down here to do this 5 games in 5 days and to have a chance to cut down the nets. Obviously, it stings in the moment, but we'll step back and keep it in perspective and just really, really proud of everything these guys poured into this team this year.
UNC Wilmington dancing for the first time since 2017, first time since 2015 for Robert Morris, the Colonials of Pittsburgh, winning the Horizon Bid 89-78 over Youngstown State. And first time dancing since 91 for St. Francis, PA. They took down top-seeded Central Connecticut 46-43 in the NEC finale. CCSU owned the nation's longest active win streak at 14 games. Gonzaga and St. Mary's dancing like usual, no matter how the WCC title game went last night. The Zags won it 58-51. Ryan Nemhard, 10 points and 6 assists. In the pros, here come the Pelicans.
Harden chests it over to Leonard for the 3. Air ball, rebound Z. Oh, we got a run out.
Yeah, you got him.
Z drives, lays in, lefty floater off the glass.
That's a beautiful picture. Zion Williamson downhill.
That's Pels Radio. Zion, 10 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists in the fourth quarter to close out a 127-120 home win over the Clippers. He finished with 27-10-12 as New Orleans pulled within 15 games of Idle Dallas for the last spot in the West play-in. Guys, back to you.
Quickly, Bosa, Joey, and Nick did not play with each other at Ohio
missed
State.
Each other by,
yeah, missed each other
by like a year or so.
Yep, and because Joey only stayed for 3 years. And now they're not playing together in the pros.
I once got in a big debate who's better, Joey or Nick, with a friend of mine who went to Ohio State. Mm-hmm. And I always thought Nick had a little more Tasmanian devil in him. I feel like Nick would chase the quarterback into the parking lot if he could. Just unleash that guy. Where Joey's supposed to be really good against the run. I can't believe you were not more excited about this signing.
Listen, this is a guy who's missed, 23 games over the last 3 years? I mean...
Right, but that's the kind of thing a fan easily ignores when he comes to your team.
I would be happier if I thought that he was actually going to play 17 games plus the playoffs. I don't think that's going to happen.
You're a little burned by Von Miller? Is that what's going on here?
Well, yeah. I mean, they gave Von Miller $50 million. Now, it's not my money, and this is a pretty cheap contract, and so the upside is huge, and the downside is whatever.
But, right, exactly. It's 1 year commitment. Yeah, this is good.
I'm fine with it. Listen, I also don't think they already re-signed Gregory Rousseau. Like, it's not like they're ignoring their own guys to go out and take a risk on Joey Bosa.
God, I'm fired up for this move.
They need somebody to get to Mahomes. Good grief. 855-212-4227. Coming up, it's Wednesday, which means the great debate. We got a doozy for you today. Hold tight.